his wand fits the best in your hand.
Really?
Here, let me show you.
Okay. I'm going to touch Kurt's wand. I'm going to touch your wand. Give me your wand.
Okay, so the thing is it hooks right into your
pinky. Can I stroke it?
I mean, you can if you want. Oh. You're recording, though, this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that is nice.
It fits in your hand perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see him, like, just kind of, like, do all these scenes where his palm's always open, it just hooks right into his pinky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
There's a little prison shiv.
Avada Kedavra.
Oh, shit.
I killed you. Ah.
Another one is this right here, so you get, like, double hooks.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So you don't even have to hold it like all the other wands you have to hold like this. This one you just...
I've never seen anybody hold it like ripping it like that.
Like you can hold it like this.
I've never seen anybody hold a wand like... It's always loose. It's always loose. It's always... So you can flick it. It's never like...
When they're doing their power stances, you always see them like really grip it, like fist it real hard.
Oh, jeez. Wand talk, guys. Nerd. Oh, man. So.
I got that in the Harry Potter Wizarding World.
I haven't been.
Oh, it's fun. You know, I actually prefer Universal Studios over Disney World.
Yeah.
Because there's not as many kids.
Yeah.
It's mostly That's weird. Adults. And you get to see the Blue Man Group. You get to see all these other, like, bubblegum shrimp. They've got they've got a lot
of... You could be a member of the Blue Man Group.
And they've also got that part of Dr. Seuss where you can just really trip the balls without having to trip
Right?
balls.
I've been to Universal a lot. When I was living in Florida, I had an annual pass for both years that I lived there. But that was before Harry Potter opened.
Yeah. Universal, I went there. The first and last time that I went there, it was the Halloween special where they had all the haunted...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, oh yeah. But
one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me in my life, and I will remember this until the day I die, I went with my mom and my aunt. My aunt didn't do any of the spooky houses, but my mom did. This guy jumps out at her. She stares her stares this guy down and is like, I've birthed two kids. You do not scare me.
Awesome. Awesome.
I gained a lot of respect for my mom that day.
Awesome. Oh yeah, because I forgot about your sister.
Yeah.
Your really attractive sister. I know, I'm just joking. Deadpool came out this week.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was. The thing is there's a hard thing to do is to outperform the original. Now, I'm not going to say that this did outperform the original, but it came pretty damn near close.
Yeah, I don't think it, like, surpasses it, but it's definitely the same yeah, the same level. It met expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderfully. It didn't try anything new. It was kind of safe,
yeah.
I feel.
We still get Deadpool in all his glory.
Exactly. And we got introduced to a lot of other characters. It's not just Deadpool this time.
Mm-hmm.
It had one of the best cameos that I've ever seen. For a brief second,
yeah.
When he's on clock,
when he's on
clock, I can't talk.
But before we go any further,
yeah.
Spoilers.
Yep, spoilers, 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 spoilers.
Yeah, there's a good amount of spoilers in here. I mean, let's be real. It's not one of those things where you passively think about going to see. It's one of those things that's like, when can I go see?
Yeah, for sure. And
kind of like Infinity War was like, when can I go see?
Yeah, it's not that I don't want to see it. It's when can I see it?
Yeah.
I will say now, since it's past spoilers, they did, marketing-wise, a wonderful job of never showing us Juggernaut.
True. Like, we didn't even know he was going to be in the movie until we saw it in the movie.
Yeah, until he was there. You had no idea. I mean, I kind of started piecing it together a little bit.
That was kind of just a shock out of nowhere for me.
Like, when they first get to the prison, I was kind of like, oh, that would be awesome if it was the Juggernaut or the Blob.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It would be one of the two.
Another thing that they did really well in the marketing is that they show, like, the marketing was everywhere. Like, I saw this when I was in New York City about a month ago. Like, they had marketing everywhere, taxis and everything. So this is a big movie.
Oh yeah.
But another funny thing that they did really well is like the X-Force. Like, there's the idea of the X-Force, but they don't really focus on anything in the marketing past Domino himself and Cable.
No, they shot additional footage of X-Force for the trailers. Like, specifically for the trailers. There's shots of, like, Terry Crews fighting in the trailers.
Yeah. And they just throw them all away.
They all instantly die. And it was glorious. And it's like, funny.
I would have really liked to see Terry Crews fight.
I was looking forward.
His power set was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I like Shatterstar. It was cool getting to see some of these X-Men that you don't really get to see in any of the other movies. Died. And they all immediately died. And, like, Shatterstar even brought up the point that he's from, like, Mojo World. I was like, holy shit, that's the first reference ever to Mojo World and anything outside of, like, cartoons.
I don't know what Mojo World is.
So Mojo is basically the Donald Trump of the X-Men. He's a big fat slob who hosts a reality channel world.
Oh, kind of like Gladiatorial World from DC, which Mongo.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Basically. Okay. Same thing. Okay. But he is a reality TV personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But one thing that was really, what really, like, set the mood for me in this movie is at the very beginning, the very, very beginning, they're kind of like, Logan died in the last one. And they show that off by having a music box with Logan impaled right there. For us, it's just like, he did a lot of... pretty much they say it's like, he died in the last one, and look at how much money they made off of it. So in this one, I'm going to do that as well.
Yeah.
Just so that I,
and then instantly shows him blowing himself up.
And then it goes right into a James Bond kind of...
Oh entrance. My god, that was amazing, wasn't it?
I loved the James Bond
entrance. Oh, I kind of forgot about that.
It's like a James Bond intro sequence, and the whole thing is like just like the last movie, where it's like produced by some dumb fucking idiot. But it was all themed on, why'd you kill Vanessa? Who the fuck did this?
Right? And which, okay, it's a big trope in comic books, killing off the female love interest to propel the main character into...
That's a big... I'm going to take it a step further. That's a big theme in every kind of literature ever.
But even more in comics, and it even has the term of fridging the girl. Yeah. It comes from an issue of Green Lantern where Kyle Rayner's girlfriend was killed and shoved into a refrigerator. Exactly.
You mean like at a coroner's office kind of
thing? No, like his apartment's refrigerator.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So this movie is getting some hate because of that.
She's not the main character.
No, but... it's so common of a thing that it's being criticized for it.
Well, I mean, they were making fun of themselves even in the movies. Like, how many robotic arms can we go through
before
the viewers get tired of it? I'm going to go for that pasty white soldier motherfucker over there.
Yeah, and...
Winter Soldier,
just so you know, none of this movie has any repercussions.
Yeah, because at the end of it, there's... one of Deadpool's powers is that he can teleport and time travel.
Uh-huh.
Kind of. Well, not really time travel.
He has a teleporter.
But he
can basically bamf.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing at the end of this movie. So at the beginning of the movie, we see that Vanessa dies, but then at the end of the movie, he's like, fuck that.
Yeah, and she's back. He fixes everything wrong with his life.
Yeah. But then also Cable goes out of his way to fix it so that Deadpool doesn't die.
Yeah.
That was a touching scene.
It was.
I really liked that whole death sequence because it was just like, wow, it's so hard for me to go. He just keeps going and going.
It's getting so bright.
My favorite whole thing is like his last words were so fucking funny. Do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah.
Because there's a running joke in the whole movie that, Papa, can you hear me? Doesn't that sound a lot like, do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah, and it does.
And it does. He's like, am I the only fucking one seeing this? another funny passable joke in there was, at least we still have, who was it? They were talking about musicians that have died recently.
Oh, Bowie.
At least we still have Bowie. He's like, oh yeah, we still have Bowie, wink.
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him.
I like seeing like the sporting cast get... a little bit larger of a role, especially
Domino was an amazing
Oh, Domino's awesome. I've always enjoyed Domino. But even like the Mohinder? The taxi cab driver?
Dopinder. Oh, he got a lot of
stuff. He was a blast.
Because the thing is Deadpool is his role model, and he's like, I want to become a contract killer. And then he's just like, I will bathe in the blood of your enemies. And he'll just say things out of place, and everybody will look at him back like, what the fuck?
Right?
Like, you're totally over your head here. Come on.
And then he does finally get his kill at the end of the movie when he hits the guy with the car.
Yeah. You know, that actor who played that preacher guy, I see him in a lot of British stuff.
Yeah, he was in World's End.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's where I saw him. That's where one of the things I've seen him at.
I feel like I've seen him in something else recently, too, but I'm not placing it.
He might be in Black Mirror. I'm not sure if he is.
Oh, probably.
But I feel like he'd be in Black Mirror.
I don't know. You could always fact check that.
I could.
But that's above our show.
Yep.
Like I said, I've always set the bar. You know, it's the kind of epic show.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of epic. It's not fact checked.
Yeah. Show. I mean, most of the time we're pretty on. But
pretty on of it. But going back to Deadpool, another thing that I really enjoyed was the. And I don't usually say this, which is strange because I usually don't pay attention to it. But the costume design in this movie was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially when we got to see Deadpool and his X-Force.
Which I like the way they did it because it was just Ash.
Yeah.
They gave it to us, but gave us a reason for it.
Yeah.
It was a nice little subtle touch. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, awesome. They did a costume change without even doing a costume change.
And even the people that they killed off immediately, they got interesting looking outfits.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Except for Peter.
Well.
You would be Peter. You would be Peter.
It's like I just saw the ad in the paper. You're in.
And I like how Deadpool goes back and saves him. Yeah.
None of the other mutants.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought that was great too.
So Brad Pitt still died. He was the Vanisher. That's who I was talking about.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. I was like, I know that guy. Who is that?
It's Brad Pitt. Like I said, he's only on there for a flash.
He's only on there for a flash, and he has zero lines.
Yeah. That was Brad Pitt.
Funny.
Oh, yeah. I do like, there were quite a few references back to the first movie. Some running jokes, like in the first movie he had a toy of his X-Men Origins
And then he
Deadpool.
Gets to kill X-Men Origins Deadpool.
Uh-huh. And there were, of course, multiple running jokes about Green Lantern through both movies.
Yeah, and then he finally is like he's... And the funny thing is even in the movie, he gives an autograph that says Ryan Reynolds, not Deadpool.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then at the end of it, you see Ryan Reynolds sitting down at his desk and be like, looking at the script of Green Lantern, okay, kid, time for the big shot. And then you just see Deadpool shoot him. But overall, the story, I mean, as we said, it's no consequence.
It's pretty basic,
like... I really didn't care too much about what's his face, the Fire Fist, or
The kid. The kid in the movie, the chubby kid.
I didn't really care for his character.
I liked
the story that it was like, oh, I have to protect a kid, but there was so many. I feel like there's so many other better X-Men that they could have chosen.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that guy. Like, I don't even know that character.
I wish they had somebody, like, kind of semi useless, but until you realize how useful they are. Like if they would have done that instead of Fire Fist, like, maybe Cypher.
Yeah, or even Pyro.
Yeah.
Because you already know Pyro.
Yeah.
And this movie, depending on when the X-Men movies are set, I mean, Pyro could still work.
Oh, so going back to that idea of, why is it only you guys in this apartment, and in this mansion? I don't see any of the original X-Men. You'd think the studio could afford it. And then you see all of the X-Men from First Class,
uh-huh.
They're all in a room, and they just quietly close the door.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, this guy's being loud. And they just shut the door. Then you say from First Class, it's the second timeline X-Men.
Yeah, second timeline X-Men.
Because
so
a lot of those weren't in First Class, like Scott and Jean.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the actors who've been playing in Apocalypse.
Yeah. And in the upcoming Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it comes out in November?
It comes out before New Mutants does.
Yes, because New Mutants was supposed to come out in February of this year. It got pushed back to February of next year.
It's a fully done movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, if you want to have a good time, I would highly suggest seeing this movie.
I think this calls for
a Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Speaking of rotting tomatoes, I need to actually check if my tomatoes are rotting.
Oh, fun. Because
I haven't been over there for a while. So we're actually recording in my apartment, which is a brand new apartment.
It's new.
It hasn't needed to be cleaned quite yet, because I haven't dirtied it up quite yet. David already found mold on my bread that I was eating. I didn't eat it today, I ate it yesterday.
I can hear you, but it's probably pretty quiet.
Oh, well. Yeah, these tomatoes are still good.
Good.
I can still make bruschetta out of them.
So, Deadpool is currently at 83%.
That's a pretty good score.
All right. Here we are. We're going to go through the negative reviews, because there aren't a lot of bad things, in my opinion, about this movie.
I mean, besides the only thing that I can critique on this movie is maybe, like,
the lack of consequences.
That's a problem, and also it kind of seemed like 2 hours was a good time, but I feel like they could have gotten it done maybe a little bit quicker.
Yeah. All right. So the first negative review, this is from Richard Brody from The New Yorker. For all the impulsive flamboyance of Deadpool's patter, the liberating power of personal virtue and disinhibiting promise of second chances, Deadpool 2 feels narrowly impersonal and oppressively unfree.
You put way too much thought into your review.
Yeah, there's
sir.
Too many big words in there.
It's not that it's too many big words. It's just it's a paragraph which you could have said in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
I didn't really care for Deadpool's character development. That's all you could have said.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And
but you used a lot of. You see, that's the kind of review that I feel like you probably did really well on your SAT scores.
Yeah.
Because you used a lot of big words that nobody really understood, so they just kind of gave you passing marks. It's like that guy that you know at a bar.
Could you review this podcast, David? Or Richard? Richard Brody, could you review our podcast? It would be the most beautiful thing ever said about our podcast. But
it's
I won't understand
shallow
it.
Shallow and pedantic.
Yeah.
But, I feel like that review is a little too flamboyant. You say the word flamboyant in yours. Yours is all very flamboyant.
Yeah. Here's one. This
See,
is
that
from
one's 2 sentences. That's a good one.
This is from Matthew Bond from the Daily Mail in the UK. I got confused and then bored by a story that ties this franchise ever closer to the X-Men. How did you get confused?
Confused by what? Did you not see the first one?
I don't know. Like, how did you
get
confused?
Okay, I mean, I can understand getting confused right off the bat because of that whole idea of going straight into a James Bond theme, but you're from the UK, you should know about James Bond interesting.
Right?
I mean, your entire economy is based off James Bond, isn't it?
Right? Oh, jeez.
We need another James Bond movie, please. Please make another one.
Yeah. Could you talk like that all the time? Because you sounded so good. Overall, the tone of the sad and mopey Deadpool makes this movie a bummer. All of the Marvel characters, Deadpool is not the guy who can pull off gravitas. He should be the guy making fun of Peter Parker and Tony Stark for being so emo. That is from Fred Topple, We Live Entertainment.
That's a valid point. I mean, he really is supposed to be the clown. I mean, even Cage says, not Cage, I'm sorry, Cable.
Yeah.
Says in there, it's like, you're just a pompous clown. And I mean, he should be. He should just be a clowny character. But just because you're a clowny character doesn't mean you can't emote. And I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds. He's a great actor. So he should be able to show those emotions.
I don't know. I think he did.
I think he played it. I think the thing is the problem was, it's the same problem that I had, is that the ending has no consequence. That maybe just all this mopiness, since it has no consequence, that people are just a little, I mean, why would be mopey then?
Yeah.
I didn't stay for the final credits. Like I saw the mid-credits scene.
Yeah, because there's not actually any new video, but there is a song about the Juggernaut.
Yeah, so there's nothing at the end of it?
No.
Okay.
No.
So there's not like that Ferris Bueller Day thing?
Uh-uh.
No? Okay.
And, you know, that's probably just another joke at us.
Yeah, probably.
Almost like the end of Spider-Man Homecoming, where Captain America's making fun of us.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember walking out of there pissed because of it.
And it's just like, I forget what he said, but basically, like, you stayed for this? This is it? This is all we're getting? And people are staying for this? I thought that was great.
And that's another thing that was really interesting about the Infinity Wars. People waited, and it just all it says at the end of it is Thanos will return.
Yeah. Well, no, you had the Captain Marvel post-credit scene.
Well, we had that, but we had, like, usually you get the post-credit, like, the post-interesting credit scene, like, the graphics, like, after the big graphics of who all played, and then you get the scene.
Yeah.
And then you get the real credits.
Yeah.
Then you get a post-real credit scene. We didn't get a post-real credit scene.
No, no. Here's another one. This is by Matthew Tomey from ABC Radio in Brisbane. Apparently, people from outside the United States don't care for this movie. While Deadpool generated interest as an worthy origin tale, Deadpool 2 struggles when it comes to an engaging story. Thoughts?
I agree that the story is not too engaging.
Yeah.
But the thing is you're not supposed to be engaged. You're supposed to look for all the little snarky comments and quip and stuff
like yeah, that. Yeah, the story doesn't have to be but super engaging like, to be funny.
Like what you just pointed out, the whole thing, like, I really enjoy holding this wand. Like, just pointing, like, I feel like an instructor pointing on a scoreboard.
Right, right.
Like, your point that you made earlier was that, like, people outside the U.S. don't really like it. Well, I'd have to say that that's a little bit of American culture, that there's no good way of saying that America isn't like proper and well behaved like most other countries are. So you gotta, I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect between us and them.
Yeah.
Where we understand the chaos of being a relatively weird nation where we support certain things that are awful, but we also we don't practice what we preach. Let me put it that way. We don't practice what we preach.
And you know what? I think a counter argument to that would be after Infinity War, this is the superhero movie we needed.
Yes, we needed something uplifting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Although, even though at the end of the movie of Infinity War, I really didn't, like yes, they're dead in the universe, but at the same time, it's one of those things, like, come on, guys, you're not going to kill all the
filmmakers. No, no.
Let's be real.
Especially considering, like, there were a couple big casting announcements for Spider-Man yesterday for the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's back as the Vulture, and Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio.
Oh,
yeah.
We haven't seen a Mysterio.
No, we haven't. And that's one thing that Marvel wanted to do with these Spider-Man movies, are bring you villains that we haven't seen. So, good.
I'm glad about that. Vulture, Mysterio.
As much as I would love a Norman Osborn in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've already seen Rhino.
But it was a bad Rhino. I would like to see a good Rhino.
Yeah, that was a bad Rhino. It was a tech of some sort. I didn't even see that movie.
So. Oh, I'll defend Amazing Spider-Man 2 quite a bit. I understand nobody likes it, but I do.
Scorpion. There's one I'd like to see.
He's in Homecoming, but not in costume.
Really?
Yeah. The guy with the scorpion
That's
tattoo
right,
on his
he
neck.
He did. He was in there. And there was also Shocker.
Uh-huh.
Short-lived Shocker, but...
Second one's still around.
Yeah, second one's still around.
But they're
never
probably
see Venom because
yeah, they've already confirmed Venom's not in the MCU, so
yeah.
Dumb.
Sony has to make their money somehow.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, come on, Sony. You've got so many other things that you could make money off of. Why don't you just leave your film franchises alone?
Why doesn't Marvel just buy it outright?
Maybe because they want to see it flop so hard that they lose so much money
that they can get it cheap.
They can get it cheap. That's probably what they want.
Probably.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
So I'd do it.
Yeah, same here.
Because we all know it's going to be a flaming turd. It's going to be...
But no, people will go see it because Venom has this weird fan base.
It's emo.
No, not even. It's the kids that watched the 90s Spider-Man cartoon and thought he was good. Thought it was a good show. And thought that the Venom was awesome. And Carnage. Symbiotes. There's a love affair with symbiotes. And I can't understand it to save my life.
I didn't see this show too much. I don't know if it's good or bad. So
it doesn't hold up.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't hold up at all.
Is it because it's a lot of 90s references and stuff?
No, it's just, it feels dated. Unlike Batman the Animated Series, which still looks beautiful today.
Yeah.
Spider-Man just looks so bad.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the dialogue's pretty bad. It's not great. But, I mean, it's nostalgia. You're watching that for the nostalgia of it.
But there's no fucking Spider-Man. How can it be Venom without
Spider-Man? Exactly. He bases everything he does off of Spider-Man. Is the look, the eyes, the
shooting
iconic
of web.
Yeah, exactly. It's all based off of Spider-Man.
I am curious to see a Venom versus Carnage, though, because that's who they're...
I'd
like to see that battle. Like, I'm going to find... Now that I'm right across the street from the movie theater, I'm really considering buying one of those movie pass things.
Oh, yeah.
Pay like $10 a month.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing enough movies because of doing this that I'm really, really considering doing that. Like, as I said, those are one of those things that I would really do as a matinee. No popcorn, no nothing. Just go in.
Go in. Spend an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Walk out.
Yep.
Not going in there with any big expectations. Just going to go there and just be like, show me what you got.
Yeah. I know I'll see it, but eh.
You know what? I'll probably just watch it on the whatever you just put on my
TV. Yeah, the Vudu. Once I buy it, because you know I will.
Yeah, because you will. And then what else is new in the world?
Well, since we've talked last, there's been a ton of trailers that have come out.
There was one that we were really excited about that I can't remember what it was.
Teen Titans.
Oh, Game. No, the puppets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a really... So they're in the movie, if you get to see it, there's what's the movie called?
Oh, it is the Happy Time Murders.
Yeah, Happy Time Murders. It's basically about Sesame Street for adults. And if you haven't seen the trailer, please go see it. You get to see a puppet jizzing, and it's hilarious.
So it's directed by Brian Henson. Jim Henson's son.
Yeah.
We had him on the show about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he briefly talks about it then as something he wanted to do.
And
so it's nice to finally see it happening.
And Melissa McCarthy's in it, so if you like her, I mean, I'm kind of indifferent about her. I think the peak of her performance is Bridesmaids.
Yeah, but she looks good in this. She looks pretty solid in this. I'm watching it. I like how it had Muppets Tonight, and Muppets Tonight was a very short-lived, like, Muppet talk show.
Like, when you mean short-lived, do you mean like 3 or 4 episodes?
I think it was like 13. It was like a season.
I really like this because...
I love it because it's still that Muppet humor.
Yeah.
Just made adult.
Yeah.
Like, Muppets have always had, like, innuendo.
Yeah.
But now that innuendo is out the window.
There is no innuendo.
Yeah. Hey, handsome. Looking for some rotten
cotton? I'm a woman. That's okay.
That's okay.
I'll have your badge for this. I'm in the fucking FBI.
Oh, yeah? What's that stand for? Fucking big idiot?
Look at that tongue.
Who plays the main puppet? I feel like I've known that voice.
I don't know. I haven't looked. I just like that it's Stanley from The Office.
Yeah. And Joel McHale.
Yeah, I love Joel McHale.
And there it is, the silly string.
Oh man. I just love how she puts out the cleaner.
Oh,
That's such a Muppet thing, you know? It's such a Muppet thing, and it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's just like, oh.
But yeah, that's gonna be a really good movie. So that's coming to theaters here soon. We also have the Teen Titans Go movie.
Yeah.
Which actually doesn't look like a bad idea, but you see, I really wish that the original Teen Titans got an actual movie release. They had a movie, but it never got released to theaters. But this is.
Yeah, so this is Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It almost, this is an ad. I don't want to hear that ad. But it almost reminds me of, remember when Aqua Teen Hunger Force had a movie? Yeah, oh yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, here we are. I love that it looks like Batman the Animated Series.
Which is really funny because
in Deadpool
they make fun of it
so much, and then they asked Ryan Reynolds for his ring back, his lantern ring back. Yeah. But yet they have a movie in which makes fun of it.
Yeah. And it's Nick Cage playing Superman.
Yep.
Just like, do you remember back in the day? Do you mind pausing it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm very aware of...
That he was going to be a Superman.
Have you ever seen the photos?
I've seen the photos.
Yeah.
But what was that movie called?
Death... hold on. It's Superman Lives was the name of it. And it was going to be directed by Tim Burton, starring Nick Cage as Superman. There is a great documentary you should check out called The Death of Superman Lives, which is a documentary made about the movie. Highly recommend it. It's on Hulu, I believe. You can watch it on there.
I also don't have Hulu.
Oh, well, I'm telling that to our listeners as well.
I should probably get Hulu because I really want to watch some South Park.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Get commercial free. It's like $11.
We'll see. I have to, at the end of this month when I get, because I have this whole list of bills.
Yeah.
Since living on my own is a new thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a spreadsheet of everything, of my expenditures and everything, and then see where I can operate to see if I can afford that.
Which I find it funny. They don't mention that Cyborg was in Justice League, which is a great, like, have they missed that?
I think it's so interesting how they depict Cyborg, because he's such a serious character in Justice
League. Yeah.
Stop right there. Deadpool? What? Why does everybody think of Deadpool?
It's Will Arnett.
Deadpool was a good guy.
By the way, he should be saying that he's not me. Okay, because I came out, like, way before he did.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you're Deadpool.
I am straight.
I like how they made that reference back to, I like how they made that reference to the dance-off at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I agree. Oh.
That was another funny thing that they talked about in Infinity Wars. Like, how did you save the universe? Dance off.
Yeah.
What?
Speaking of DC movies, the first...
Shazam photos.
Yeah. First official look at Shazam. All right, come on. Come on. It's not in that video. Where is it at? Why aren't there pictures?
I saw the pictures. Well, if you do enough research, you can find it. The guy who plays it in the...
Yeah, it's Zachary Levi, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to this movie. I know some people aren't, but it's DC's first live-action comedy. It's probably
going to... Oh, this is a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, this will actually be interesting.
Like, they're trying to do... It's almost probably kind of their answer to Deadpool, in a way. Just maybe, but it won't be rated R, of course, but Billy Batson, Shazam, he's a 10-year-old kid that gets superpowers and is able to turn into to Shazam.
Or Captain Marvel, depending on who you call.
Depending on if you want to get sued. I like that look, and I like Zachary Levi. I was a huge fan of Chuck. I'd like seeing him get the opportunity.
You know what I see in this movie happening is that they're going to make a joke about this. The moment they make this joke, they're going to get a cease and desist. Is like Shazam more like Captain Marvelous?
Yeah.
Like, and the moment they say it, I feel like they're going to make some sort of like flamboyant joke like that.
Maybe.
And the moment it happens, it's just going to be.
I doubt that, but it'll be some fun banter back and forth. I mean, clearly they're already doing it with. Even in Teen Titans Go and Deadpool itself.
Getting a show here soon, live action Teen Titans. So we'll see how that does.
I'm looking forward to most of the things that are on the DC streaming service.
What is it about DC that they can make amazing TV shows, but they can't make fucking movies for shit?
Right? Like, they're knocking it out of the park on television.
Yeah. I mean, Arrow's great. Flash is great. Supergirl, I don't know, but I've heard it's great.
I enjoy Supergirl quite a bit. I hear great things about Black Lightning. I haven't watched it yet.
On Netflix, yeah.
I love Legends of Tomorrow.
See, they knock it, and it's been this way forever.
Ever.
Like, and even like animated TV shows were amazing.
Animated DVD releases. All those are great.
But then, like, the only thing that DC's had that's cinematically great are the Tim Burton Batmans, the Christopher Nolan Batmans, and that's about it.
I'm a big fan of the Superman movies, the original Superman movies with Christopher Reeves.
Way back when. Okay. I was going to talk something.
Which we just lost Margot Kidder.
The original Lois?
Mm-hmm. Not the original Lois, but.
One of them.
Yeah. She was the original movie Lois because there was a Lois Lane for the George Reeves television series in the 50s.
Okay.
Sorry.
But what I'm talking about is more recent history.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even Batman, the show with Adam West wasn't really good.
I love it. I absolutely.
It's very 50s. I would say 60s.
It's 60s. It's made in 66.
It's very 60s, regardless. But man, ever since the last Keaton Batman, it wasn't anything good except for Batman Begins, Batman, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises.
And Wonder Woman, which you haven't seen, but Wonder Woman is fantastic.
I'm still refusing to see it, man.
Yeah, you should just watch it. It's on there. You don't have to pay money for it.
It's not that. It's the principle of the thing. After seeing Batman versus Superman, even though I didn't pay to see it, I saw it on the cruise ship when I was working there, and I'm like, this movie is so horrid, I'm going to boycott everything from now on.
No, just see Wonder Woman, because it's pretty much separated. It takes place in World War I. Just watch it. As a standalone movie.
Maybe when I'm really drunk and I've got nothing to do. Or maybe if I'm trying to impress a girl that I'm trying to entertain.
Yeah. Okay.
Watch Wonder Woman. Oh, you're so forward thinking. Like, I'm going to hate this. But the after party I'm going to enjoy a lot.
No, the movie's fantastic, dude. Give it a shot.
Okay, what else is new in the news world?
Not a lot. I'm sure there has been, but... We've kind of been out of
it. So the next episode we're going to talk about, we're going to go see Solo.
Yeah, Solo comes out this week. I can't wait.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It is currently sitting at, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's currently sitting at a 70%. So we'll see. We will see.
I mean, this is a little bit of a departure from Rogue One. Rogue One, we went into the movie knowing we shouldn't get attached to the characters.
Yeah.
But this movie, the thing is we know the characters survive whatever escapade this is.
And to be fair, it's 70% out of 133 reviews, so it'll probably end up staying right around in that range once the movie's released.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is there's... It's kind of like at the end of Deadpool 2, where there's really no stakes.
Yeah.
And the same thing will happen with Ben Kenobi movie.
Which, I like the sounds of that plot for the Kenobi movie.
I haven't heard the...
It will take place entirely on Tatooine during that gap. So he's going to be overlooking Luke from afar, but there's going to be a town that is being threatened, and he's going to be like the sheriff that steps in. It's going to be played like a Western.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah, and he's the old rugged cowboy that comes in and saves the day.
What age, like how, are we talking mid, or are we talking like close to Jedi, close to New Hope?
I don't know.
Because I'd like to... Is it getting played by Ian McGregor? That's really...
That's the only thing they haven't officially said yet.
I really hope...
So it has a director, it has a assumed start date, but they haven't said if...
I really hope Ian McGregor comes back, because the thing is he's now aged about 10 years.
Oh, yeah, he's the perfect age.
He looks like he'd be perfect for it.
Yeah, he would be the perfect age, I would think. I mean, Obi-Wan in A New Hope looks... way older than what he probably should have been, but he's been living in a desert, so...
So, I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of sun damage. Yeah. So, in reality, he would be in his 50s in A New Hope?
Probably.
50s or 60s?
Probably.
So, at the end of Jedi, at the end of Sith, he's like 30s?
I would say so. So, and then there's a 20-year like, gap.
He's Luke is almost like 20?
19, 18 to 20. Yeah.
So, I'd like to see him, so he'd be in his mid-40s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like a splash of gray. Not all gray, just a splash of gray.
Right. And if they play it like an old Western, I think that movie will be perfect. Incredible.
And I hope they do, because the thing is if they play it like a Western, you don't get to see the lightsaber reveal until much later in the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot of people are just going to think that he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he steps out and it's like, oh shit, a Jedi.
Yeah.
He's a Jedi. Those are supposed to be extinct.
Yeah. They're a thing of myth.
Yeah. I think that movie's gonna perform better than Solo, in my opinion. I've never really been a Han Solo fan. I don't know why. I mean, I enjoy his character. Don't look at me like that.
No. I was hearing like a slight, like, it almost sounds like a fucking heartbeat.
Are you pregnant?
I'm only hearing it in the mic. That's so weird.
Okay, but...
Listeners, let me know if you can hear that, too. It's really confusing me.
But I've never really been a big Solo character. Like, honestly, to be frank, I would much rather have this Solo movie had been a Chewbacca story. I don't know why.
Because you can relate to him?
Probably. People don't really understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I got Chewbacca on my shirt.
Yeah, this movie will be fun. I don't think that it's going to rival any of the original. Like, I still say that Last Jedi is one of the best Star Wars movies, even though people hate on it still to this day.
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to be nearly anywhere near as good as the original, like, Star Wars, like, the main storyline. But it'll be fun. It's going to be lighthearted. It's going to be a heist movie. So let's see how well they do a heist. Oh, also, Ocean's 8, if you guys are interested in heist movies. I refuse to see it, not because it doesn't look good, but because Sandra Bullock's in it, and I refuse to see anything
that's
she's
so
in.
Bizarre.
I don't like her as an actress. I don't know why.
Really?
She's probably a great person in reality. Like, I don't mind her as a human being. I just don't like the typecast she gets every time.
Okay.
Bitch. She's always cast as a bitch.
I don't think she is in Oceans.
that's the thing, which would be nice to see her in a different role. I mean,
okay, so I'm assuming you've seen the Ocean's 11 movies?
I've seen them, yeah.
I mean, she is playing George Clooney's sister.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she'll have kind of that same attitude that Clooney did.
Which would be nice. But the thing is I just can't get over the... She's got legitimate resting bitch face. Like, she... When I think of somebody being...
There go all of our female listeners. All two of them.
She's just... She's probably a great person. She probably is a good, decent human being. But I just can't get over the fact of she's typecast as bitch in every movie that she plays in.
Is she, though?
Miss Congeniality, she's a bitch.
Is she?
In both of them.
I think you're taking the term bitch a bit too...
Okay, I'm not saying bitch in, like, the hood style bitch. I'm saying bitch as in just, like, snarky, kind of a dick. Because, okay, it when I say bitch, I mean it the same way as I would say a guy's being a dick.
Okay.
She's being a bitch, or he's being a dick.
Okay.
She's just kind of a dick.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, some upcoming releases that I can't wait for. June 8th, we have a film called Hereditary. It's a horror film currently ranking at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Interesting. Mr. Rogers movie.
Yeah, Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary that... One asshole, I looked at these reviews, one asshole gave it a negative review, and he's like, I'm sure there's a much better subject they could have made a documentary about.
Fuck
you. Yeah, fuck that guy. Right? Fuck that guy.
You're probably one of the people who's just like, I hate educating the masses.
Yeah. I hate making you feel good about subjects you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hotel Artemis looks awesome.
What's that about?
It basically...
Is that the Jack Black movie?
No.
They're doing some sort of mansion story with him, aren't they?
I have no idea. Goosebumps and another Tenacious D.
They're doing another Tenacious D?
Oh. Yeah. But Hotel Artemis looks like it could be set in the John Wick universe, but it's this hotel for criminals.
That's a hospital for criminals. Right, that's right, yes.
That movie looks awesome.
Make a John Wick joke.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Jesus Christ, another victim from John Wick.
On June 15th, we have The Incredibles 2.
Which is going to be great.
And Tag.
That looks like fun.
The week after that, on June 22nd, we have Jurassic World.
I'm still kind of up in the air if I want to see that.
I want to see it.
I want to see it, but I'm not sure if I want... It's not a night movie. It's going to be a matinee for me.
No, it's a opening night. I'm going to be... My ass is going to be in the theater that night. Now, also starting that week, we have 3 weeks of Paul Rudd. He has a movie coming out called The Catcher Was a Spy on June 22nd. He's got one on...
Wasp?
No, hold on. He's got another one. It's... where's it at? Did it get moved? Maybe it got moved. It must have. But yeah, it must have got moved. It's not on here now. Never mind.
So we got two Paul Rudd movies.
Yeah. There was three. It's not on here anymore. He had a movie coming out with Steve Coogan on the 29th. But yeah, on the 29th, we have Sicario 2, which if you haven't seen the first one, highly recommend it.
What's it about?
A drug cartel. And it stars Thanos and Emily Blunt and Benicio del Toro. Like, it's great. It's really good.
Is that the movie where that del Toro is shooting the gun like you do in an arcade?
Yeah.
See, when I saw that in the trailer, I'm like, God, this is going to be a bad movie.
No, it's fucking incredible. Trust me, it's fucking incredible. It's from the same guy who did Arrival.
Okay, so it might actually be good.
Yeah. It's awesome. But they're making a sequel to it without Emily Blunt or the director. So we'll see. But some of the cast comes back. I can't wait for Uncle Drew.
That would look like a fun movie.
I'm sure it's going to be awful, but I think I'll still enjoy the hell out of it.
The thing is I probably am only going to go see it just to support Reggie Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not a current Pacers fan or any sports fan. Period.
Should
now,
be a current Pacers fan.
But when I was a kid, I was a Pacers fan.
Yeah, and you have Reggie, you have Shaq. That movie's going to be fun.
Yeah. I really hope that Shaq makes some sort of, like, Ben Gay or Icy Hot joke.
Yeah.
Or
talks about his insurance with the general.
Please, 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 movie gods, make that happen.
Yeah. We have the first Purge on July 4th.
I actually want to see that.
Yeah, I've seen all the Purge movies in theaters. Ant-Man and the Wasp on July 6th, which also has a new trailer.
Oh, and then we've got Skyscraper with Dwayne Rock Johnson. So I was trying to explain this to people at Sun King the other day, and pretty much what I said is The Rock Johnson plays Die Hard.
Yeah. Except he doesn't have a leg and somehow manages to jump.
It's still Die Hard.
I know. I'm okay with that. I'll see it. All right. Well, that takes us up until the beginning of July. And it filled enough time. Cool. So, yeah, we're good. There is an interesting theory for Ant-Man and the Wasp, which comes out July 6th, that in the trailers, they go to the Macroverse.
Micro.
Whatever.
Macro means big.
Oh, Microverse. Yeah, Microverse. Sorry. The Microverse. And that's where the climax of the film probably takes place. So the snapping will happen while they're in that alternate universe. And then they come back.
They're safe.
They're safe in there, so they come back after the fact. And they come back to a world that's now...
Fucked.
That'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. I'm curious,
what's this villain's name? Like, I don't remember seeing this anywhere. Is this Ghost. A new villain?
No, they're around.
Okay, because I'm curious to see this villain. Because yeah. I've never read anything about it, never seen anything about it. It seems like an interesting character.
But what would be interesting, they go there, they get the original Wasp back, but Hank has now been dusted. Oh, how much is that gonna, like, oh, sad day.
I don't think they're gonna get the original. I don't think they're gonna find the original Wasp, because the thing is,
it's Michelle Pfeiffer. They've already cast, like, she's in the movie.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of that song, "Closest Thing to Michelle Pfeiffer That You've Ever Seen." okay, so,
but that would be almost like bittersweet, where they come back and. Like,
Hank goes.
Yeah. Like, they see each other,
you know,
and then he's...
Here's my prediction, is if they do dust people, it's going to be Hank and then the entire team of Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah, probably. Or just his daughter.
Oh,
or wife.
Fuck. No, his ex-wife.
Ex-wife.
He doesn't really care about his ex-wife.
Yeah.
He cares more about his daughter, but if they dust his daughter, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's going to be a heartstring. That's going to be more of a heartstring for me than seeing
especially
all
since
the Avengers
she's a future
die.
Avenger.
Who is she?
Stature. Of the Young Avengers. She can shrink and grow.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
She took over for a while after he died. After Scott Lang died. So.
You know what would be interesting is if they have some sort of like passing Ant-Man 3 character in there. We just like see him for a hot second or something. Like just hanging out with the crew.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Huh.
Because we're already on Ant-Man 2 when we started Ant-Man.
Yeah.
There's Hank Pym, and then there's Scott Lang.
Uh-huh.
And it would be interesting to see Ant-Man 3.
Yeah, have Eric O'Grady or some the next Ant-Man that came.
How many Ant-Mans are there? Four?
There's a lot. There's a lot of them. At least three. Maybe four.
Okay.
And then we do get introduced to Goliath in it, who's played by...
That's right, by Morpheus.
Yep. Why am I spacing his name? Damn it.
Morpheus is.
Yeah, it's Morpheus. Wow, I'm brain farting. It's Oh, fuck me.
Hey Siri, who plays Morpheus in The Matrix?
Lawrence Fishburne. It's Lawrence Fishburne. Matrix features Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss. Yeah, I knew I'd get it. Oh, my brain's not working. Anyways, I'm going to stop this. I'm David West.
I'm Kurt Steiner.
Follow us on Twitter at Kind of Epic Show. Follow me on Twitter at David West underscore KOES.
And don't follow me on Twitter. I don't use it.
You could use ours. You could post to our Twitter.
You know, I got a Twitter a while ago because they told me that I need it for job interviews.
Yeah.
But then I
who
told
uses Twitter for job interviews?
Well, that's the thing. The first place that they post jobs is going to be on Twitter, apparently, according to the coach that I went to.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because the thing is where people our age, where are they going to look for jobs? Like, they're going to look through social media.
I would never look at Twitter for jobs.
And that's the thing, is like, oh, well, it's the older generation trying to tell the younger generation how to get jobs. I had a really hard time at that job coach thing, because the thing is for a lot of the jobs nowadays, is you have to submit all your stuff online and even take a survey online to see if you would fit the position.
Yeah.
Before you can even get a face-to-face interaction.
Yeah, that's silly.
And the thing is I'm like, how is – so I raised my hand in one of the things, and I'm like, how am I supposed to get around this? It's like, have you asked to go in for an interview? The thing is you can't do that anymore, because if you do, you show that you can't follow instructions on the hiring process.
Yeah.
And that you will not get hired on that, because I've read a lot of interview
like, oh, that's
interview
so silly.
Posts about how if you show up for a real-life interview without going through the proper channels, they will tell you you are not hireable at this point because you didn't follow the rules.
Jesus.
And I'm like – and then the thing is I'm just looking around all these, like, baby boomers who are either looking for their last job, or these Generation Ys who are looking for their second job. And I'm just like, God, these people, they have no idea what market they're trying to go into right now.
Right.
And I'm trying to even just get into it. Man, that's a story for another day.
Yeah,
I'm Kurt
right?
Steiner.
David West.
Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, later.
Hey listeners, this is Micus, creator of the Kind of Epic theme song, Zombie Kids. If you're interested in finding out more about my music, you can check me out at micusmusic.com. Also, I am on iTunes, Facebook, and SoundCloud. You can look me up as Micus Music, and that's M-I-K-U-S, and you know the rest. Alright, peace out everyone, keep listening.